Good morning. Greetings to you in Christ's name. It's a pleasure to be with you. I feel like I'm half here. We weren't all able to join you this morning as a family. And I understand that it's a pleasure to be here because of what we have in common. I was thinking on the way down some verses that my mind was turning in regards to what I had been preparing, and my mind was turning around this idea. The verses were, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That's a statement of faith, that our life is hid with Christ in God. Where is my life this morning? What makes up my life this morning? Where do I go for fulfillment for my life this morning? I've entitled it The Christian's Hope, and would like to think about it in a sense that I have an attachment as a Christian to the other side of eternity. I am linked to it like a ship sets its anchor in the ocean, and have a tie that is very firm and steady. I understand this idea of hope a little bit in earthly terms, a few illustrations. The time in life where you have young sons and you would offer to, or you would suggest that you're planning for a fishing adventure someday. You project a day for it. And you get their hopes up quickly. They are quickly anticipating the adventure that they envision in that. And based on the integrity of my word as dad, they have confidence it will happen. Depending on what my word has been in the past, they will either confidently anticipate it or less than confidently anticipate it. So hope carries the idea of anticipation. I also know what it's like to have an idea of what I would like for a vehicle to fulfill a particular purpose for myself. Not just any type of vehicle will work. It needs to be one that fits the purpose. And hearing the report of the previous owner, who perhaps in all good faith paints a very good picture of the quality of what is there. Looking at this particular rig, and it looks like it is perfect. It looks like it is in great functioning order. Making the purchase, and then realizing that there are things hidden in its mechanics that aren't all it was fixed up to be. We have hope that our anticipation will be fulfilled. Let me just read a few excerpts from the New Testament that we have on hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, 1 Timothy 1:1. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, Titus 1:2. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, Romans 12:12. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, Galatians 5:5. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, Ephesians 1:18. And, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. So I'd like to consider a few of the strains in the cable that link us to the anchor that's on the other side. 1 John chapter 3, I'll begin here. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And so, we have the idea of spiritual birth here, which plants that seed of hope. But also the idea of being hidden in Christ. Life that is hidden in Christ. I don't understand fully how that happens in this life. The seed of eternal life that God puts in us, but we know that it's there. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that at His appearance, we will be known. We will be known as we are known, says in 1 Corinthians 13. For we shall see him as he is. A part of this idea of hope is that I have a desire that will be fulfilled. My expectation will be fulfilled at some point. And I find for myself there is a lot of busyness in life that takes a lot of energy. And it's often not on the forefront of my mind that I have a hope in heaven that does not rest right here today. It is not fully explained today. Today is just a piece of the time that I spend here. It's just a preparation for it. In Romans 8, Romans chapter 8, we have Paul explaining and illustrating some of that human experience. And I believe it's good for us to understand that we were placed in the creation as it is. We were placed in the creation by the will of God. Let's just read here verses 18 to 25. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So the creature was made subject to vanity and bondage, not of its own will, it says, but by the will of him who subjected that. God's will that through the curse subjected creation to this. Also, on the same hand, and to give his creatures hope for the future, he has not left us without hope. He subjected us to that through his will. It is that that saves us by our faith in Christ. It sets our vision on what is on the other side. We are saved by hope. For what we hope for, we cannot see. My life that's spent here today is not all there is. It is not fully satisfying. It does not lead me to total satisfaction. No, we enjoy life. We enjoy the pleasant things of life. But there are so many reminders that this is not all there is. And it seems like we all come to that point in our lives where we understand there is something beyond. I seek for fulfillment in my desire for what is beyond. We are subjected by God's will to the things of this earth, the corruption that's a part of that, that we might find hope. Then do we with patience wait for it. That gives us the idea of eagerly anticipating it. Now I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. there is a lot of appreciation for links in Scripture and the connection that different subjects have. Peter here is speaking to strangers scattered, and persecution was a part of their lot. For us, persecution isn't in this sense. But we understand the thing of the struggle to exist, the struggle to live, and the wearing down the that our human bodies understand. We can relate to that. Verse 3 here, 1 Peter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And that encapsulates this whole idea of hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. "To an inheritance," this is on the other side, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The keeping power of God. I'll just pause here. How well do I understand God's interest and capability of keeping my faith as I commit myself to Him? 1 Peter 4 and verse 19 says, and this is in the context of suffering, "Wherefore, let them that suffer, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." Special to me this morning that God understands our hearts and emotions because He is our Creator. We all probably understand what it is like to be in the thick of situations that we deal with thoughts regarding God and doubts, the things that Satan would like to throw at us to derail us. I'm sure we all probably understand that. And you subject yourself to following Christ and stepping into His purposes for me as a person. You come to try to understand, what is God calling me to do? And your mind starts, at least mine does, starts rationalizing through this and trying to find some logic in it. And how can I give up more because the cost is there in my humanity? There's that rationale that tries to make sense out of the situation. Suffering wrongfully quickly puts me into that kind of a thought pattern. It's not fair. But 1 Peter 4 verse 19 here says, if we're suffering in the righteousness of our walking with Christ, if there's suffering in that, commit yourself to the keeping of God. Because He understands my heart and my feelings. He understands my emotions. He understands what I'm thinking. He knows how to tailor circumstances to meet my need. He knows me better than I know myself. Commit the keeping of ourselves to Him. Verse 6 of chapter 1. Okay, I'll back up to verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 8, we come back to this idea that it is something beyond. It is something we're reaching for. It is that which is veiled to our eyes at this point. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I had to think of that a little while. Does that define my rejoicing as I look at my own life? Do I find inexpressible joy, that which cannot be uttered? I don't even have words for it, in the fact that I rejoice that someday I will live with Christ. Verse 9, yet receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now I'd like to back up to 1 Corinthians 5. It's Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. This somewhat restates this process through which we choose to walk as we come to Christ. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So there is an accomplishment that's happening through our experience here. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed. Confidence in something that will not let me down. Confidence in something that won't bring me shame for trusting in it. Confidence in something that is not only all it's promised to be, but way beyond. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And I believe that part of this planting of hope in our hearts is done through the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit as He ministers to our hearts. that the Holy Spirit understands our experiences and even prays. I believe it speaks of praying, or the Holy Spirit. Maybe I should just turn to it. Chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The ministry of the Spirit in our hearts that understands the experience completely and reaches out to God and His grace when I don't even know quite how, but that God understands me in that way. Hope that I place in God's keeping power. Well, one of the strains in this, or one of the pieces of this cable that I have found as a part of my own experience, if you will, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We like confirmation before we place confidence in something or someone. We like to know that I can trust Him. And this chapter here, chapter 6 of Hebrews, has been an encouragement to me. And the context is that the author, the writer, whoever it was, under inspiration of God, was somewhat stirring up the minds of the readers to consider. In fact, he was being quite forthright that we need to go on to perfection. We need to go on and grow. Because at the end of verse chapter 5, we have the young ones who use milk, but that we need to go on to understand and ingest the strength of meat. And so, the first part of chapter 6, we have a continuation of that thought. Let's go on. Let's leave the beginning place and let's go on to perfection and maturity. And in verse 9 he says, "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And then he begins to illustrate what he's trying to say here. And it's in this illustration that I have found a lot of encouragement and strength for myself. "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." Verse 14 is, I believe, is Mount Moriah's experience. But even before that, it says of Abraham that against hope, he believed in hope. Understanding the impossibility of his own physical body to what God had promised, he believed in hope. That against hope, he believed in hope. And here, verse 14, was God's words to him after he had willingly taken His only Son and given Him back to God. God said, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And so after He had patiently endured, He obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Did God want us to rest in His unchangeable promise that has stood time? I'm just impressed with the way that God has given such a firm promise that His word will stand. He was willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise. He wanted to go beyond just the necessary. He wanted to be completely convincing that we could rest in the promise of His word. The unchangeableness of His counsel. That by two immutable things, and I'm not sure what two immutable things are, perhaps it was His promise and His oath, but that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That we might have a strong consolation. God wants us to be completely convinced that His word is worthy of our confidence. So entirely convinced that we flee there and we rest there. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Fixed, immovable, and which entereth into that within the veil. You consider an anchor that reaches down to the bottom of the ocean and attaches to that which will not move and keeps the vessel fixed in one position. Oh, there's some moving around, but it cannot drift away. It is fixed. And also, the reason that it is fixed is that we have access by faith within the veil. We are invited to come to Him through the blood of Christ. We're invited to enter behind the scene, behind the veil, to God Himself and communicate about our own experience, reaching out to Him for grace to bear us up. Reaching out to Him for strength to walk when this life lets me down. Reaching out for grace to live in the face of my challenges. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. finally, I want to close with a verse from Romans 15. Part of this discussion is the fact that it is hidden from view to us today, from our natural eyes. And it is by faith that we grasp it. But the other side of that is that it is reality. Hope is reality. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It is this that I leave with you. It is this that I wish for each of us to be able to grasp in our hearts by faith. Thank you. And we'll bless.